The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 33. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the director of Radio City Playhouse, Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Bob, and welcome everyone to Radio City Playhouse. Before we begin our show, may we express our deep appreciation of the many wonderful letters which have come into us during the past month. In the beginning, all of these letters were answered, but the volume of mail has now become so large that this is no longer physically possible. So, although we cannot answer each of you individually, we do want to say thank you and let you know that your letters have been very encouraging and heartwarming. Our show tonight is titled Only Unto Him and is based on a short story by Catherine Norris. Grace Keddie stars in the role of Fanny, and she is assisted by Cameron Prudhomme as Will Evans, her husband. Here is Only Unto Him, Attraction 33 on Radio City Playhouse. Fanny Evans is sure that she and Will have the most beautiful home and the most beautiful garden on all Long Island. She's been sitting in the garden since breakfast. Now it's almost noon and time for Will to drive into New York. She's been daydreaming a little, enjoying the sunshine and the flowers and the softness of the air. She starts slightly when she hears Will's footsteps on the cobblestone walk. She'd almost forgotten where she was. But she looks up and smiles. It is a very gentle smile, because Fanny Evans is a very gentle woman.
Fanny, I'm sorry I have to leave you alone, but this director's meeting is rather important.
I don't mind, dear.
How's the head?
Better.
You look a little pale.
Do I? Well, I feel better. Much better.
Have you got my handkerchief?
Handkerchief?
Yes, you said you'd bring me down a fresh one.
But I gave it to you, didn't I? When I came down to breakfast, didn't I?
No, Fanny.
Oh, Will, I'm so sorry.
It doesn't matter, dear. I've got some in my desk at the office.
I don't know what makes me so forgetful. Why am I like that, Will?
Oh, it's just nerves, darling, just nerves. Well, I've got to be getting along. Now, don't sit out here in the sun all day. And be sure to remind Cook about Dr. Oldendam.
Remind her?
Oldendam's coming for dinner.
Again?
What do you mean, again?
But he was here last Tuesday. Why do you look at me that way? Wasn't it Tuesday?
No, dear. Well, it doesn't matter anyway. But try to rest. I'd like you to be real fresh and gay this evening.
All right, Will. And don't drive too fast.
I won't. We'll be here around 7, so be sure to have a good rest.
All right, Will. I'll rest. Poor Will, he's so patient with me. I wish I could remember things.
Mother, Mother, wake up.
Rosamond, Rosamond, darling.
Oh, how are you, dear?
Oh, what a wonderful surprise, wonderful. Oh, pull up that chair and sit down.
I hope I didn't startle you.
Oh, you didn't startle me a bit. I was only half asleep. Oh, sit down. Oh, that's it. Oh, darling, I'm so glad to see you.
I'm glad too, Mother.
Oh, Rosamond. You didn't...
Oh, he didn't see me. I saw him leave and I waited until the car was out of sight.
Oh, that's good, dear. He's so tired these days. Mr. Jackson's fighting his plan for the new building and Will's so upset.
Everybody fights with Father.
No, dear, you're wrong. I wish you wouldn't say things like that. He's the kindest, gentlest man that ever lived. He hates dishonesty, that's all.
Dishonesty?
Well, dear, he thinks it was dishonest of you and Barney to run off and get married without telling her.
Let's not go into that again, darling. I've some news for you.
News? What kind of news?
Would you like to be a grandmother?
Rosamond. No.
Yes.
A baby. Oh, how wonderful. My little girl with a baby of her own. When?
Oh, not for ages yet.
Is Barney pleased?
As thrilled as I am.
Oh, Surely your father will come around now. You need so many things with a baby.
Let's not talk about Dad.
Is Barney still resentful?
No, not really. He admits that Dad is a wonderful man and very clever and very upright and everything, but, well, he just doesn't like him.
Oh, darling, your father means well. I know he thinks there's only one way to do things. That's his way, but he lavished everything on you when you were growing up. You hurt him terribly when you eloped. It's very easy to understand.
How have you been, Mother?
Oh, I don't quite know.
Are you sick?
Not exactly. I get headaches. I don't sleep well. Sometimes I get up and wander around the house in the middle of the night. Father's quite worried about me.
Oh, is it something physical?
No, just nerves. I seem to be, I don't know, vague about everything. I've been sitting here all morning. I haven't noticed the time go by at all. It was as if I just sat down a moment ago instead of 2 hours.
Have you been to the doctor?
Oh, Dr. Oldendam has been here several times.
Oldendam?
He's on the staff at Pleasantville Sanitarium.
Pleasantville? But surely you're not thinking...
Oh, maybe for a little while, darling. I don't know. Apparently I'm having a nervous breakdown. I don't feel as bad as that sounds, but I have been doing some strange things lately.
What sort of things?
Oh, forgetting appointments, losing things.
You've always done that.
But lately I've been doing other things, things that are much worse.
What do you mean?
Now we're not going to spend all day talking about my health. You're staying for lunch? Maybe we could take a drive afterwards.
What about Father?
Well, he's at a director's meeting. He won't be back till at least 7. And he and Dr. Oldendam are driving back here for dinner.
Dr. Durbrow, it's very kind of you to come with Dr. Oldendam tonight.
Not at all. I'm only too glad.
I know your time is very limited.
I thought it might be a good idea to have 2 opinions.
Yes, indeed.
Mr. Evans, Dr. Oldendam has told me a little. Perhaps you'd fill in the details.
Well, you probably know that Fanny's a very nervous woman. 6 months ago, my daughter eloped with a young man of whom Fanny and I disapprove. He has no ambition, can't keep a job, and naturally, we were upset. Fanny's whole life was wrapped up in Rosamond. She took this sudden marriage very badly. Well, so did I, as a matter of fact. You know, it's pretty hard to take when your only child turns against you. You bring them up with every possible advantage, and then they reject you for somebody completely unworthy. I'm fairly well reconciled myself, but Fanny, well...
Mrs. Evans is still upset.
Yes, she is. In fact, she's developed a frightening hate for the child. A terrible hate that's all the more dangerous because it doesn't show. She pretends to be devoted to Rosamond, to miss her. And yet she several times said that she wished Rosamond was dead.
When they are together, does your wife show this hatred?
Well, I...
Tell him everything, Evans. He'll understand.
They don't see each other.
You mean never?
Never. I've forbidden Rosamond to come to the house under any circumstances.
That seems rather extreme, doesn't it?
He's afraid Mrs. Evans might become violent.
You mean you're afraid she might attack her own daughter?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm terribly afraid.
I see.
Fanny has been a wonderful wife. This thing is so fantastic that I hate to talk about it. If I weren't at the end of my rope, I wouldn't talk about it. We've had some terrible scenes.
When you've had a chance to size up the situation, Durbrow, I think you'll agree that the only solution is Pleasantville.
Well, perhaps you are right, Doctor.
I can't help but feel that there's some other way. No matter how you gloss it over, Pleasantville is an insane asylum.
That's a very unfortunate term, Mr. Evans.
Yes, I know, but...
Look, Mr. Evans, what does your daughter think of not being allowed in the house?
Well... To keep the child from worrying about her mother, I've pretended that I'm still furious about her getting married. She thinks that's the reason. Actually, it's for her own safety. Oh, here we are now. And gentlemen, please try to be casual. I'd hate her to think I'd brought you both out here to spy on her. She's very sensitive to people.
Oh, of course, I know how you feel. Oh, what a beautiful place.
Yes, it is nice, isn't it? We're very proud of it. Fanny says it's the most beautiful garden in Long Island.
I don't doubt it. That lawn is like a putting green.
That's Fanny in the chair over there.
I'm stiff. It's a long ride.
Well, I don't go in very frequently. Besides, I guess I'm used to it.
Have you taught her who I am?
No, just that you were a doctor.
Good.
Oh, it's all right. You can walk on the lawn.
It seems wrong, doesn't it?
Like sacrilege.
Well, we're not that fussy. Hello, Fanny. And please be casual, gentlemen. I don't want her to think she's on trial or something.
Of course we will.
Well, how are you, darling?
Oh, I'm fine, dear. I've had a lovely, quiet day here in the garden.
This is Dr. Durbrow, dear.
How do you do?
Mrs. Evans.
How do you do?
You know Dr. Oldendam?
Yes. Of course. How are you, Dr. Oldendam?
Fine, thank you.
We managed to snare Dr. Durbrow for dinner. We should be very flattered. He's terribly busy.
It's very kind of you to have me, Mrs. Evans. This is the most beautiful garden I've seen in America.
It is nice, isn't it?
Suppose you gentlemen make yourselves comfortable and we'll have our cocktails out here in the garden.
Ah, splendid.
Good idea.
Perhaps you'd help me, Fanny?
Of course, dear. We shan't be long, gentlemen. Please sit down.
Thank you, Mrs. Evans.
And don't hurry. This is the first time I've relaxed all day.
All right, we'll take our time.
Well, Dr. Durbrow. His name's familiar.
He's in town as consultant on the Whitlock murder case. The defendant is pleading temporary insanity. Won't mind the bushel.
Isn't that the woman who...
Who what?
I forget. It doesn't matter.
What were you going to say, Fanny?
She murdered her husband, didn't she?
Yes. Yes, she did. Go ahead, dear.
Thank you.
It's cool in the house. Perhaps we should have a fire in the fireplace.
I'll speak to Cross about it.
Fanny, wait.
Yes, Will?
You looked upset when I came in. Did anything unusual happen today?
No.
Sure?
Yes, dear.
Was anyone here today?
No. Nobody. Why?
I noticed that little straw seat in the garden had been pulled close to your chair.
Oh, I forgot. That corset woman came by again.
Didn't you say she was here last week?
Yes, but you know how persistent they are.
Well, why did she use that chair? The only person who ever uses that chair is Rosamond.
Well, anybody's liable to use a chair, Will. After all, it's out there.
You're sure Rosamond wasn't here?
Of course I am.
Fanny?
Yes?
Did the corset woman leave a card?
She did last week, but I threw it away.
I don't like her bothering you.
I don't mind, Will. Really, I don't. You mustn't worry about me so.
I can't help it.
Is that why you're having these men to dinner?
What do you mean?
Am I on exhibition this evening? They're here to decide whether or not I should be locked up.
Darling, please, please don't say things like that. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. Believe me, you'll never be forced into anything.
It's rather disturbing to know they're watching me.
Fanny, you know I love you, don't you?
Yes, dear, I know that.
You know this is for your own good, don't you?
Yes, I guess I know that, too.
Well, then, won't you trust me?
Yes, dear, I'll trust you.
Good. Now let's see to our guests, huh?
If I chat with you, Mrs. Evans, your husband and Dr. Ozendam are playing backgammon in the game room.
I wish you would. Please sit down.
Thank you. Very nice out here. And may I compliment you on the dinner? It was delicious.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
You have a very large house here. Do you find it a strain? I mean, taking care of it?
Oh, no. We have competent servants. Of course, the place seems empty since Rosamond got married.
You miss her?
Oh, very much.
An only child?
Yes. Will doesn't approve of her husband. As a matter of fact, I don't either, but... Oh, I do wish he'd let them come to the house.
And won't he?
He's never forgiven her for eloping. Oh, mind you, I'm not opposing Will, but he's very stern.
Tell me, Mrs. Evans, do you suffer from headaches?
No. No, I don't suffer from anything. I'm just forgetful. I daydream a lot. I'm always forgetting things, especially things Will wants me to do.
How old are you, Mrs. Evans?
44.
And how long have you been married?
23 years.
You are younger than Mr. Evans.
Will is 52.
I don't mean to cross-examine you. You've been very kind to tell me this much.
Dr. Durbrow, what do you think of Pleasantvale?
Oh, it's a very pleasant place, as its name implies.
If it would help Will to... You see, he has so much on his mind these days.
Really?
Yes. He's having difficulties in putting through some ideas he has regarding a new building. Mm. Well, he's very worried, and everybody seems to be against him in this business deal, and I hate adding to that distress, but... Oh, I wish I knew what to do. Do you think I'm crazy? Oh,
my dear Mrs. Evans, whatever makes you say that?
Sometimes I think I am.
Why?
I do some very strange things. Very strange. At night I take spells. Oh, if I could see Rosamond once in a while, I know I'd feel better. At Pleasantvale, would they let me see her often? As often as I wished? Alone.
Alone?
Yes, alone. Just once in a while. I think of it as some sort of jail, but if I could see Rosamond...
My dear Mrs. Evans, please don't get yourself upset this way. There's nothing wrong with you.
Oh, don't try to fool me that way. I get tired of these lying bedside manners. You do think I'm crazy.
Mrs. Evans, please.
And now, if you'll please excuse me, I think I'll go to my room. I have trouble sleeping if I stay up too late.
Of course, but please don't worry.
Good night, Dr. Debra.
Dr. Durbrow, what are you doing out here on the terrace all by yourself? Did Fanny go to bed?
Yes, she felt tired. How was the backgammon?
Mr. Evans beat me royally, as usual. I'm afraid that my backgammon prognosis is definitely negative.
Won't you have a cigar?
Oh, thank you.
A light?
Thank you.
Tell me, did you have a chat with Fanny, Dr. Durbrow?
Yes, I did.
What do you think?
As you predicted, she expressed a wish to be with her daughter alone and professed a great love for her.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
She also said she had spells at night.
Yes, she does.
What kind of spells?
Well, I don't know how to describe them. She never remembers them afterwards. She'll sleep for a few hours and then get up. Sometimes she wanders through the house in her nightgown. Sometimes she cries. Sometimes she sings. On several occasions, the singing has wakened me up and... I found her standing over my bed with a weapon of some sort.
Really? I wish I'd known that when I talked with her.
She has a heavy hand mirror of sterling. Hmm. Sometimes it's that, or a nail file, or a knife from the kitchen. Frankly, I'm getting nervous. I've even started carrying a gun.
A gun?
Why?
Well, isn't it perfectly obvious?
Well, do you really think she would kill you?
I don't know. I just don't dare risk it.
Do you keep this gun near you at night?
Yes, under my pillow.
I see. Well, Mr. Evans, I think it's time we left. Hmm?
Oh, I'll drive you back to the city.
You'll do no such thing.
Oh, of course you won't.
Well, I enjoy the drive, and as you can imagine, I don't sleep too easily. Now, if you'll wait here while I slip around to the garage, I'll have the car at the front door in just a moment.
Oh, it seems terribly inconsiderate to take you all the way into New York.
Well, it's nothing, really. Besides, I need some fresh air. I won't be a moment.
No hurry. Well... What do you think?
I think you are right.
It's dangerous as the very devil.
Well, we can't do anything tonight.
No, I suppose not. But something's got to be done quickly. Did you let on to her in any way?
Of course not. Tell me, do you think you could get him to drive her over to Pleasantvale tomorrow?
I don't know. I'll suggest it on the way in tonight.
Yeah, I wish you would. And take my word for it, Ozendam, it's even worse than you suggested. It's incredible that something hasn't happened before this.
Is that you, Will?
Yes, Fanny.
I wish you wouldn't turn on that overhead light. It's blinding.
I won't be a moment, Fanny. Just shut your eyes.
It's like a very strong light.
It's the same light we've always had.
What time is it?
It's late. I drove them back to New York. Fanny?
Yes, Will?
There was a gun in this drawer. Did you take it?
Will,
Did you take it?
Yes.
Where is it?
I hid it in my dresser drawer.
Fanny, you mustn't touch it. Believe me, you mustn't.
What are you going to do with that gun?
Fanny, we just can't go on like this. I can't stand
it. Will, please. Please don't put that gun under your pillow.
Don't you understand that I'm afraid?
Afraid of me?
Yes, afraid of you. I'm so afraid of you that I can't sleep.
Will, I don't. I wouldn't harm you for anything in the world.
Not deliberately, you wouldn't. I know that.
Will, please try to help me. I know I'm not everything you want me to be, but I'm trying so hard.
I know you're trying, but Fanny, I've got a living to make. I've got to devote more time to the business. It's very hard now. It isn't the way it was during the war. I've got to go in more frequently. I've got to get my sleep. I've got to be... Fanny, I just can't spend all my time worrying about what you'll do next. I'm afraid to leave you alone, even with the servant.
But I'm all right, really, I am.
You're not all right.
I am, I tell you, I am.
The doctors don't think you are.
Did they say so?
Yes.
What did they say?
They said...
Tell me. Tell me!
They think you're in a very dangerous condition.
And you... What do you think?
I think you are, too.
Oh, Will, help me.
Fanny, I never know when to believe you and when not to believe you. Can't you understand that this is impossible? We just can't go on like this with my being afraid to leave you alone. Every night you get up and prowl around the house.
I know I do, but I never think of hurting anybody.
What do you use a nail file for in the middle of the night?
Must have been I couldn't sleep. I thought I'd do my nails. Will, please believe me, I wasn't going to hurt you. I swear I wasn't.
I don't believe you, Fanny. I'm sorry, but I don't. There was somebody here this afternoon, wasn't there? Wasn't there?
No, there wasn't.
Tell me the truth.
That is the truth.
You're lying.
I'm not.
You are. I know you are. Now tell me.
All right. You know she was here. I can tell that you know. Yes, it was Rosamond.
And you promised me you wouldn't see her.
I have to see her. Once in a while, I have to see her. What's wrong with that? She came for lunch. We went for a little drive.
Drive? You took her for a drive?
What's wrong with that?
Did Cross drive you?
No, I drove.
In your state of mind, you drove an automobile?
Yes, in my state of mind, I drove an automobile.
Fanny, don't you understand why I'm afraid? Don't you understand that the reason I don't want Rosamond here is because I'm afraid you'll hurt her?
Hurt her?
Yes, hurt her and maybe kill her. Do you think I enjoy seeing you lonesome and longing for the child? Do you think I'm completely inhuman? Don't you realize that I'm so terrified to leave you alone with Rosamond?
Well, I don't know. I'm so muddled up.
I can take care of myself. But Rosamond is just a girl.
I deliberately wrecked the car.
I don't know. Oh, stop it, Fanny. Stop it.
I can't. It's too horrible. We did have an accident.
Fanny.
It wasn't serious. Well, I didn't see the railing. It was nothing. Nobody was hurt. And the car was hardly scratched.
I told you not to see her. I can't stand this any longer, Fanny. I don't want to be cruel, but you've got to go to Pleasantvale. Dr. Durbar says so. You've got to go tomorrow, Fanny.
All right, I'll go.
Fanny, I've enough to bear without...
Stop it, I'll go. You're right, I am crazy. I'll go to Pleasantvale tomorrow.
Good afternoon. Nice to see you both. Mrs. Evans, I'm happy to welcome you to Pleasantvale.
And she's very happy to be here, aren't you, Fanny?
Yes, I am, Dr. Oldendale.
Oh, that's fine. I'm glad you feel that way. Mrs. Maloney?
Yes, Doctor?
She's one of our nicest nurses.
Is there something I can do, Dr. Oldendale?
Yes, Mrs. Evans is going to be with us for a little while. I wonder if you'd show her around.
I'd be glad to. Now?
Yes, right now. If you'd come into the office, Mr. Evans, there are papers and things.
All right. I'll see you in a few minutes, Fanny.
All right. What would you like to see first, Mrs. Evans?
Well, I don't know. I think I'd like to see the garden.
This way, then. We have a lovely patio where you can soak up sunshine to your heart's content.
Seems to be a very nice place.
It's very restful.
Can I go anywhere I please?
Of course. Anywhere you please.
Oh,
there. Isn't that lovely?
Pink roses and wisteria. How lovely. Mm-hmm. Even the wall and gates look less formidable from here.
Shall we sit down a moment?
You seem very preoccupied, Mrs. Maloney.
I'm tired. I've been on since 6.
Let go! Let go!
Oh, dear.
How terrible. Has that sort of thing happened frequently?
No, that was an unusual case.
Oh, it must be horrible to be like that.
Don't think about it. Oh, here comes Dr. Durbrow now.
All right, Mrs. Maloney. He won't need you now. I'll take care of Mrs. Evans.
All right, Dr. Durbrow. It was very nice meeting you, Mrs. Evans.
Thank you. Well, Doctor.
Mrs. Evans, I have something to tell you. Perhaps you'd like to come into my office.
It's very quiet here.
All right.
Now, Doctor, what have you got to say to me? How bad am I?
Look, Mrs. Evans, let me do the talking for a moment, please. Have you ever heard of paranoia?
Paranoia? Yes. Yes, I think I've heard the word.
Paranoia is a very strange disease. Frequently it represents an expression of unendurable hate.
What are you trying to say to me?
Your husband. His symptoms excited Dr. Olsendam so much that he called me in.
My husband's symptoms. My husband's symptoms.
Please, please hang on to yourself. He suspected you of wanting to kill him. That was our first clue.
You mean that Will... that Will... that I'm not crazy?
No, Mrs. Evans. You have suffered a great deal, but it is your husband's fault. Believe me, there's nothing wrong with you.
Was that Will that screamed?
He is a dangerous paranoid. His mind broke completely just a few moments ago.
I've just heard Only Unto Him by Kathleen Norris, adapted for radio by Agnes Eckhart. The production was directed by Harry W. Junkin. Grace Keddie played Fanny Evans. Cameron Prudhomme was her husband, Will. Other players included Stefan Schnabel, Bob Dryden, Marilyn Erskine, and Leora Thatcher. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. Radio City Playhouse is supervised for the National Broadcasting Company by Richard P. McDonough.
This is Harry Junkin again. Our sincere thanks to Grace Keddie and Cameron Prudhomme for their inspired performances, and a sincere invitation to all of you to join us next week for another exciting story on Radio City Playhouse. Next week, Attraction 34 on Radio City Playhouse. Good night, everybody.
Bob Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.